Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz get blown out at home by the Toronto Raptors. How much of it was no Donovan Mitchell? How much of it is a major defensive problem for the Jazz? How much of it is that the Toronto Raptors are just awesome? That's all coming up tonight on Postcast. I'm David Locke along with Ron Boone. This is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. The Jazz get blown out tonight. They led 31-30 at the end of one. They seem to be all right midway through the second quarter. In the play-by-play call, I said, oh dear, there's 5 minutes left and too much time to get to halftime. And you could feel it, Ron, that all of a sudden the Raptors had just taken over the game and the Jazz couldn't play with them. And they went on a 27-10 run to close the half. They took a 55-54 lead. You thought you were kind of still in it, and then you were out of it in a hurry early in the third quarter. Toronto was awesome. They're playing a certain style the Jazz could not combat. It is hard to decipher what went wrong exactly. But let's go to that second quarter, Ron. What flipped in that game?
Well, first of all, they got outscored by 12 in that quarter. And then secondly, Dave, as I mentioned earlier, they have almost an entire team that can put the ball on the floor and race up and down the floor and make plays. They got one player, and that's the center, the big guy, Jonas, who just probably not going to do anything like that. But they have a ton of athletes, and they really take advantage of it. Their speed, the ability to get all the way to the basket in transition is probably the strongest part of their game.
So everything built on itself in this game in this weird fashion. So if we go back to our open of the broadcast, we talked about the Raptors were great at a bunch of things, but Quinn Snyder's message to the team was they're great at a bunch of things, but that greatness leads to deficiencies. We've got to take advantage of those deficiencies. In my research, the only two deficiencies I found were, one, they weren't very good in transition, and two is they weren't very good on the pick and roll defending the ball handler. Well, without Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz only players at that point were Ricky Rubio and Joe Ingles. Early in the game, the Jazz took advantage of transition and got that going. We saw that weakness. You even mentioned the broadcast. Wow, they're not very good at that. The problem was, Ron, because the Jazz couldn't take advantage of the other part of the game and were missing shots, Toronto's in transition and scoring, so the Jazz never get a chance to go back in transition the other way.
Yeah, was that fool's goal, I think, at the beginning of the ballgame, because Toronto was really turning the ball over and the Jazz were getting out and running. Royce O'Neal, the head of the defense, got a chance to get to out of the first three buckets, three or four attempts to shots anyway. Three of them was at the rim because of the Raptors turning it over and the Jazz getting out and running. But again, that second quarter, just the table was turned and there's nothing the Jazz could do from that point on.
So when you look at this game, Ron, and you try to figure it out, there's a combination of – here are the things that went wrong tonight. One is the Jazz couldn't score in the half court at all. Joe Ingles finished the night 3 of 13. Ricky Rubio finished the night 1 of 10. The Jazz shot a combined 8 of 31 from 3, and that's totally misleading because they made a bunch of threes late in the game. They were about 3 of 25 when it mattered. Then you have this incredible number that the Raptors averaged 1.8 points per transition tonight. And then you have the Jazz couldn't get in transition. So those are the three things that were wrong tonight. Were they all wrong? Was one of them more so wrong than the other? What led to that?
Well, it's boy, I don't know. It's just amazing that they just couldn't put it together. I mean, obviously they missed Donovan Mitchell. Obviously the open shots that they're getting, they're not making. And so I don't know. It's just hard to pinpoint, you know, everything that's going on with this team right now. Defensively, last year they kept them in basketball games and gave them a chance to win, even though, you know, some nights they were not shooting the basketball well. This year, it's both ends of the floor that they're struggling with.
Okay, defense was not good tonight. Was it just transition defense wasn't good, and that was the problem?
Absolutely. The transition defense, I mean, they're just not fast enough and quick enough to keep up with this with the Raptors. You see Siakam, OG, Lowry, Danny Green was probably the only one that didn't play in transition tonight, although he did get 1-3, but he was probably the only one that didn't play transition basketball.
The Jazz can't make shots right now.
Yeah, they're struggling. I mean, it's amazing how the signature of the Jazz's game was making open shots, whether it was a three or a two or what. And now they just can't make them. And you can just tell, David, the confidence of a few of those players is just not there. passing up shots is something that they can't afford to do. I mean, they have to get their mojo back.
All right, let's talk about the other factor in this game. Even though they didn't have Kawhi Leonard, this Raptors team is great.
Yeah, I know you have them going all the way to the NBA championship.
I mean, I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
I really, when the season started, my prediction model, I thought there were two teams that were way above both their conferences. I had the Warriors in a different class, and I had the Raptors in a different class. And then I had Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, and Indiana in the same class, but they're not even sniffing these guys.
Separate themselves.
I mean, it's not close. Like, if I were to project win, my system doesn't project win total, but I would guess that I had the Raptors at close to 60 to 65 wins, and I had these other guys at 53, 54. Like, not close.
Well, you can see, and you're absolutely right about this team, because they are just tearing it up right now. And the thing is, it's got so many players on this team that's capable of just going off and having a big night. I mean, what a luxury for a coach to have, especially when guys like each other, they play well together, they do a lot of things on the floor equally as good. I mean, what a luxury to have when you have so many guys that can have big night. Ibaka last night went huge. Tonight, collectively, everybody got the job done. There was only one guy you had four guys with 17 points, and, you know, that was it. So collectively, they got it done together.
So here's the question. When Kawhi Leonard's guarding Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, can they beat the Warriors?
I don't think there's any doubt they can beat the Warriors. Absolutely.
Oh, Ron Boone.
Absolutely. You know.
It's calling it. November 5th, Raptors, Warriors. We know the finals already. We'll see what happens. That wraps up Postcast, brought to you by the store at 6th Turn South, 20th East. Turkey orders are underway. Feel free to go get those for Thanksgiving at the store at 6th Turn South and 20th East. Have a good one.